Hey, before we start, we were hoping you could take a few seconds to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It means a lot to us that so many of you are listening, and we hope you can continue to support us by leaving us a little bit of feedback. Cheers. Welcome to Liquid Courts. Today's guests are Cork-based trio with the Love Bus, self-described as a steamy, tongue-in-cheek beacon of hope for the vagrants of Cork City and further afield. The band fuse influence from the likes of the Pixies, Elvis Costello, and the Flaming Lips to create their own brand of pop-punk psychedelia. We chat to them about the influence of their surroundings and future plans. Enjoy.
Liquid Court. Talk about the music in your life.
Liquid Chords.
Hey lads, how you getting on?
Very good, very good.
Good, we've got Aidan and Henry. Where's Kieran at today?
He's currently slaving over the fryer in KFC. He sends his best, says hi, but you know the way work is nowadays. If you're working, they work you to the bone. And if you're not, you know, you're twiddling your thumbs.
So tell us about yourselves. How did the band get together? Have you known each other for a while?
Myself and Kieran have known each other since like secondary school. We started doing music in fourth year because we thought it'd be cool to be in a band, and yeah, it was, yeah. So we've been doing music since we could play. So we learned to play in the same room together, and then we started doing our little tunes in our bedroom when we got to sixth year, and then when college came, we started seeing a couple of live shows and we're like, oh, this is savage. And you know, we were spotted down by the water recording a couple of like tracks for the computer. We were playing the guitar in the water, so you get the sound of the waves at the same time. And someone was taking their dog for a walk, and it was a bookshop owner in Kinsale, and they spotted us and offered us a gig, so we had to get a set together. And then at that point we didn't know Henry yet. So we had our friend Fionn from Happy Alone on a little drum machine sitting in the back. But then college came, and Kieran and Henry met in college doing music. And Henry, you were asked, sure, we have a gig there in a couple of days. Can you learn these songs? And do you want to be in a band? Henry had similar music tastes. We're like, and Henry's actually got a hard and dark music taste, and funky as well. Like, but it was the Black Sabbath that drew us in.
What was your first impression of the lads?
I met Kieran first in college anyway, and it was just kind of like having cigarette breaks out, like chatting about music and stuff. And then I first saw them play. It was about like it was only about 3 weeks into college anyway. Himself and Aidan, I hadn't seen anything like it before. It was like Kieran's acoustic, and the bass, and then dancing around the place and stuff. I hadn't seen anything like that before. I thought it was really cool.
Are you from Cork as well, Henry?
Yeah. Well, from West Cork.
And what's the scene like there? Are there many bands doing stuff, or is it kind of?
There would be like a few bands kind of like in each town. Like Connolly's and Lepp would be a big place, right, for music.
Okay.
And then Clonakilty as well. Like that would have been where I would have first seen some like live bands. But the city would be, there would be a lot more kind of happening there.
I hope you don't think I'm going to have to come back every bloody week and do these therapy sessions.
Well, you're going to have to come back for as long as Dead Rabbit wants you to come back, unless you don't want to do the show, unless you don't want to get a girlfriend.
Okay, fine. Next time, my rider better be better filled out. I want 2 plates of fish and chips, okay?
Okay, we fried salmon berries and...
Never fry a salmon. Where are you from, mate? Never fry a bloody salmon berry. You boil them.
Yeah, so when Dead Rabbit sent your name across, I got straight into the music.
Mm.
Really enjoyed like how different each track sounds in terms of, you know, it's you, but it's, I was hearing like Weezer, Pulp, like a psychedelic twist on that. Who for you would be big musical reference points?
Tough one, because it's always changing.
Yeah.
It's always changing.
Yeah.
But it kind of started off with King Giz and stuff. Like, we just kind of admired a lot of the psychedelic scene going on in places that wasn't Ireland, because Ireland doesn't really have much of a psych scene. And like it's tough to even call ourselves a psych band in this environment, you know? But there's definitely just a kind of a punk ethos that kind of taught us to, like, just looking back at the how bands revolutionized with like the Sex Pistols and just there's so many influences, it's tough to list, to be honest. But I think it's important just to dip in and realize what you like in all kinds of music.
How has the music changed, do you think, from when you first started recording to now?
At the start, it was really lo-fi stuff we were kind of making, like, because we were using Audacity on an old beaten up computer, just trying to make stuff that sounded weird and just kind of like, this shouldn't work, but it's working right now, you know?
Mm.
And I think then seeing a lot of the live acts around change it as well, like playing live was definitely one of the most valuable lessons we could have learned, because we got to play to an audience and also play against an audience at the same time, you know, like just see what they're seeing already and then just try and dish them up something new. So it's always changing depending on how people receive us. I'd say, one of the biggest changes was just a want to be different, but the best at the same time.
When you're writing music then, are you thinking about performing it live?
For me, definitely, yeah. I definitely always kind of think of...
Yeah.
The same for you, Henry?
How it'll impact.
Yeah.
But then the recording process is just fantastic, right? Because we get to look at it in a totally different way. Like, we've got our own producer, Chris Summers now, he's been our producer since we started as the Love Buzz. And he's been totally instrumental in helping us even realize what we like about recorded music, because it's tough to look at it that way as well sometimes. And he's been a gem. He's been a gem.
Does Chris work out of a studio or is it a home studio?
A nice studio. It's one like built off on a farm out in deep inner city Cork.
Okay.
Out in this old farmhouse. Like we met him as a sound engineer in a venue that's now gone called Dali, which was a class place. It felt like you just walked into Berlin. And it was mainly just an electro kind of DJ place, and then we started doing gigs there, then there was gigs there. So it's gone now.
It's a pity.
It's a fierce pity, because like it's the venues are the lifeblood of the youth, like, you know. Like, if we didn't have venues, we wouldn't have much else. But I think after all this, a lot of that's going to change. The approach to shows, I reckon, is going to be a lot more DIY shows going on along the country, because people have realized all you need is a speaker and the generator.
Hopefully. I'm hoping there's going to be more people going to gigs. I definitely think I'll be going to more gigs. Henry is a relatively new band, just Aidan had briefly mentioned COVID there. How do you think the pandemic has affected yourselves?
I suppose like we were kind of used to, like as you're saying before about, you know, we practice or make a new song is for, or we think you're playing it live. Like I think that's definitely changed like how we approach like practice as well. Like now we're kind of, because we're kind of split up now, like we can't go to practice room, so it's just been kind of like spend a lot more time recording and stuff, and just kind of like I come up with the drum part, like send it on to Kieran or Aidan, or if they have like a guitar or bass riff or lyrics, kind of send it on then.
Yeah.
But it took a while like adjusting to it at first, but that's kind of where it's what's happening at the moment.
A lot of people have mentioned that being like one of the positives, I guess, of this. getting better at production and recording, because you have to, because if you don't, if you can't do that, like, in a way, you can't really be a band.
Yeah, that's all you can do right at the moment,
So, like, as I said, I was listening to a lot of the music. You recently released Sainsbury's, again, which, like, in comparison to Harp, I think shows your diversity. Can you, was it recorded before COVID?
It's one of the COVID tracks, all right?
It was.
That's one of the oldest songs. That came, that song, Sainsbury's, has been around since the Bookshop gig, and we haven't done it live in, I'd say, a couple of years, Henry, now. But it's always been one that's,
I think, good, like, once or twice,
What was the reason for bringing it back?
We found an instrumental we liked, I think. Like, we had an old instrumental back when we were more acoustic-y and more kind of influenced by the kind of indie wave that was happening at the time. Bands like Boy Pablo and stuff like that. But then, having done all we had since then, we managed to, like, Kieran during the lockdown was doing a lot of writing when we were all separated away. When I was living in Kinsale, you were living in Cork, and Kieran was living out in Bishopstown. He got an instrumental idea together, and then we decided to try Sainsbury's on top of it, and it just worked, clicked. So that's what happened with that one. But yeah, Harp and Sainsbury's were recorded within 2 days of each other. All in the same session with Chris. We just got together a load of new material, and that's going to be coming out later. But we've got a good few tracks now already in the back pocket, which is a new feeling. We've never had that before, because it's usually, oh, we have something, let's get it out now and just do a tour to bring it out, you know. But, like, now we've got it in the back pocket. We need to think about it strategically, and it's a new kind of fun. It's a new kind of fun.
Okay, right. Here I am. I'm here in Bloody Therapy. I've got Connor breathing down my back, got Liquid Quartz breathing down my front, and I'm just sick of it. I've headed up to here, and all I want is to be the star of the show, as per usual. I want to be given lots of money and a really nice girlfriend, and that's all. That's all I want. You bloody making me.
I think, Peter, you definitely don't need to do this podcast to get a girlfriend. You know, I've been hard on you in this therapy session, but you're a fine young man with lots of talents.
Well, you're a fine young man, Connor.
Thank you.
And I hope that this was helpful to you and could help you get over some of your problems.
It's not for me. This was for you.
Yeah, but I'm doing it as a favour to you.
No, I called you into this therapy session.
Yeah, but it was my decision to... I said yes, that fine, because it matters to you so much, I would be willing to help you out on this occasion, and that's what happened.
Okay, if that's what you need to tell yourself.
Okay, well, if that's what you think, if that's what you have to tell yourself to sleep at night... then I'm okay with that.
At least I can sleep at night. At least my dreams aren't just me going up in an elevator.
It's a horrible nightmare. And as you get to the top, it's like, that's me in the spotlight. Terrifying.
I think planning and strategizing is part of the modern band and part of being a musician. You can't not think of those things anymore, because just everybody else is. So, and you were saying, did you say there you have an album recorded?
Not an album, but an EP.
An EP.
Like, we've always wanted to get together a vinyl, you see. And this year, with all the work we've done, we feel like we've finally got enough material ready to get something out, because it's just a medium that never dies, you know, and it's something we can hold in our hands. And yeah, it's something special to get out there, because like we all know nowadays that like the music industry has changed massively. Like the whole idea of getting your CDs out to the shop, getting a couple of thousand sales like that is gone. But the fact that vinyl hasn't died yet, and that people still have an appreciation for a physical representation of music, is massive. So now that we've got an EP together and we've got together some of the old material, it's just an exciting process now that we're embarking on now.
Yeah. You're still a relatively new band. Like, it's not like you've been going for 10 years, you know, which is good. There's like plenty ahead of you. What about any other bands or any acts that you would be quite akin to? Any mates or people, you know, underrated bands that you would like to give a shout out to?
Good topic. We're currently living with Jordan from Happy Alone. They're great lads. If you haven't heard them before, what I admire about them is how globally they look at the whole scene. But they're a great band. They're kind of more on the electronic side.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like in Cork alone, we've got Pretty Happy, we've got Messying, we've got so many good bands coming out of the blue. But there's like people like Kinsey and Skinner who are doing crazy stuff in Ireland as well. But I ideally love to get out playing with Amel and the Sniffers and stuff. Like the Australian scene is something that's just inspiring to see. That's a tough one. There's so many bands and stuff like that.
It's a difficult question because you don't want to miss out on people too. Like,
yeah, I know. I'd say I want, like, one of the things I don't want to change after this lockdown ends is like been able to play up the north and stuff like that. Like we've made so many friends up the north with like Cherim and like even Touts and stuff like that. Like it's just, I really want to get back up there now again, just because it's such a magical place. Like whenever we go up there, it's just,
yeah,
like a world within a world. Like,
yeah. I think the people in the north feel that about the south too. Cherim, yeah, I saw them play at a festival last year. And it was just,
which festival?
It was one quite local. It was one near where I live called what is that festival called? You've put me on the spot here. It'll come back to me. It was based in Guildford. Sure. It was in Guildford. So it was like, Guildford is a tiny town, so for it to have anything
in England?
No, Guildford in Northern Ireland. It's a tiny, it's a hamlet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this was big news, this festival. I can't remember. Model. Try to get it up from it, but I saw them, they were so good. They were just, because it was early in the day, and you know, sometimes, I guess for you, you've probably experienced this, you can kind of get like a bad slot at a festival or a bad, you know, crowd aren't in, and you feed off that energy, and if it's not reciprocated, it can kind of be hard to, you know, keep that mindset. But Cherim that day, it was early in the day, it was completely bright, it probably didn't suit their style, but just because they kept that energy up and kept doing it, they won the crowd over, you know. Our Backyard Festival, that's what it was called. So
savage.
Yeah,
they're so unapologetically them. They just don't really give a fuck. I love them. Like,
yeah, that's it. Like, they couldn't give a shit if there was 1,000 people there or the 10 that were there. They performed like it was their last gig. So yeah, there's that.
That was hardly the one where Naira broke her face.
No, I think she told that story at that, though. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I only saw a video of that now, but it was savage.
Who do you think is the sexiest member of REM?
Well, I'll tell you who the sexiest member of Liquid Chords is. Let's meditate, right? Connor and Peter, meditating. Hold my hand. Hold it. Bloody, hold it. I told you to hold it. Okay, right. Are you going to start?
What do you want me to do?
Just the same as me, exact same.
Peter the Hater Clark.
You're flat.
This segment's flat.
Your front parts are flat, mate. You got no willy. You're just a Barbie doll without a six pack. Just got a flat part.
What would an ideal, if everything came back and, you know, things resume in July, what does an ideal year look like? Release more music and gig as much as possible, I guess.
Approaching gigs definitely is something I'm excited to do. Like just being able to have the freedom just to do whatever, like during the it was around like October or something, we were doing busking on the street. But we brought out all sorts of stuff. Like we had trolleys as drum kits and traffic cones. And like we had fire spinners there. Like it just made me realize how easy it is to just get a response off people once you show that you're willing to have a bit of crack with them.
So true.
But like I've even been thinking about like hopping in a van and like just touring around the country like that. But also I want to kind of explore the world a little more as well. Like for instance, Harp got like major reception in Russia out of all places. But I'd love to just, it's hard to imagine now what the freedom of having the world at our doorsteps will be like again. But I wouldn't mind seeing a little more of the world as well.
You just take it for granted, don't you? Like your freedom.
Definitely.
And that's the point you said about the trolleys and the cones, and you're saying how you treat a gig differently. That was something that came to me quite like late on in terms of trying to make something just not a few people on stage with instruments, like trying to make it a bit different and unique. And maybe it takes this sort of like absence from gigging to really realize that, you know, you can have,
definitely,
you know, apart from, I don't know about fire inside, but like meeting all the regulations, you know, there's no reason you can't do something a bit out there.
One of the last gigs I remember we had in Dali, that was a whopper. Like this is like all pre-COVID and stuff, but like we tried to take that approach as well. In the middle of the show we all had a walk off, and then we came back on with Kieran's girlfriend was wearing like a balaclava and a leather jacket and all that, like because we needed a synth player but we only had three in the band, you know. So she came out with the, you know, the lobster. I don't know if you know the lobster. We have lobster. Our manners are like plastic lobster. But she was using the lobster to play the chaos pad and playing the Korg with her other hand. And everyone was like, that fiend's not a fiend. The fiend's a pure. The mystery was magic. And then like in the middle of that show, we had Kieran was working in ramen, an Asian street food place, and we have there's a friend he has there called Susan, who's like huge into pop punk. He came over from Nepal, and pop punk only really reached Nepal late, but like it really struck hard. So he's like, oh, Blink 182 till I die, you know, and all that kind of crack. He's a fantastic lad, but he came up in the middle of it and sung Creep by Radiohead, and that experience for everyone in the gig, like we've heard back since, was just magic, just to see just someone come up who's obviously in a new world, like just being embraced into it. And it was just, it was magic. Now you could really feel, like you think of the lyrics of that song, like, and being a new person in a new country, like it hit home. Like, and I always find myself thinking back to that night, like just thinking of Susan singing that, and it was just something magic.
Yeah, I can imagine. Kieran, by the sounds of him, he's like a master of many cuisines. So
yeah.
So if he's ever stuck on tour, I'm sure Kieran will probably be landed with the cooking culinary. Lads, thanks a million for doing this. Really cool to have
thanks
you.
Thanks for having us, lad. Seriously, it's been a world.
Outside Sainsbury's.